Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Lisa Reed, who is the founder of Get Speaking Gigs Now. She coaches speakers how to get booked and attract clients through speaking. She has personally delivered over 600 speaking engagements, and you can learn more about her and her resources at getspeakinggigsnow.com. So on today's segment, she will reveal the number one secret to getting booked and staying booked so that you can really be positioning yourself and using speaking as a way to connect with potential clients in your agency. So thanks so much for joining us today, Lisa.
Thank you for having me, Julia. Very excited to be here.
Awesome. Yes, very excited to have you with us. So let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
I am in sunny Orange County, California.
Amazing. And what would you say motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I think it's always really like my guiding mission, vision, purpose here is to give my gift to others so that they can give their gifts to others so that we can honestly raise the consciousness of our entire humanity. That's pretty much what drives whatever I do.
I love that.
Other than that, nothing.
Yeah, I love that. That is, I think, one of the best answers I've ever got to this question. It's one of those answers that makes you think. It's like, yeah, I love that. So why, tell us a little bit about your story of why you decided to start Get Speaking Gigs Now.
Well, yeah, great question. I actually started as a speaker and an interest in speaking many, many years ago. Even my bachelor's and master's degree are in speech communication. Although I will say to your audience members, you do not need either of those degrees to be a speaker. So don't worry, you don't have to go back to college. It just shows I always had an interest in training, teaching, leading. I was good at writing curriculum. It's just something in my bones. When I was little, I remember I wanted to be a gymnastics teacher, which I was. And I wanted to be like an elementary school teacher, which I was not. But no matter what job I had, quote unquote, I would always kind of sneak training in there. So not really a surprise to become a professional speaker at the age of 40. After all the dust settled, I was hired by a personal development company to be a speaker and to get clients through speaking. And I was already madly in love with what they did and the services and the trainings that they offered. I thought, this is great. I get to teach people about mindset and I get to go speak. So that very first year, and this was back in 2013, I booked 83 speaking engagements in my local area and filled up all the workshops that they told me to fill up. You know, it was like, okay, $300 pop. Here you go. You get a workshop. Actually, I mean, they purchase workshops, but, and then I would just do it every year. Simultaneously, I was leading a group and I had created a group called the OC Speakers Network, OC standing for Orange County. Mm-hmm. And speakers were constantly asking me for support. They said, how did you get on that stage? How did you get that booking? How did you do this? How are you always booking? You're speaking everywhere. What are you doing? And I just got that question so many times. And I remember looking back, like if you were watching the tape back, I would be like, I can't really help you with that. It's kind of a lot. You know, I can't really explain that in one sentence, but you know, I don't really have time to support you. So that I was really pushing them away, not angrily, just kind of like, I didn't have time to help them in my mind. And then it dawned on me one day, you know, like you get hit by the 2x4, you're like, oh, wait a second. I think there's something here. Going back to the original question of like, what are you here on this planet to do? Which that wasn't your original question, but that's how I heard it. So it was like, wait a second, I think people need my help. I think this is something, I guess I'm doing something different, that there is a need in the marketplace. There is a hole, you know, like people say they want to be speakers and they think it's all about just creating the talk, which that's part of it, but that's just like the first part. It's like, how do you have those conversations? How do you know where your right audience is? You know, all those kind of things. And so I started my company in 2017. And at that time, I'd probably given over 250 talks or something like that. Yeah. And that's, and booked them all myself. And so that's how it like all got started.
Interesting. Yeah. I love that story. So yeah. So today I'd love to pick your brain on a few things, such as, you know, why agency owners should be seeking out speaking engagements to, you know, as a way to help position themselves and ultimately grow their agency. And then also how to actually get booked in as a speaker, which can be overwhelming to a lot of people.
Yes,
you don't even know where to start. So to get started, so what is the secret to getting booked and also staying booked as a speaker?
Yeah, so this is, and then remind me and I'll answer the other question when we get back to like, why should agency owners even do this? So for me, the number one secret to getting booked and staying booked is to incorporate something I call the speaker soulmate system. And you're wondering, what's a speaker soulmate? I will tell you. And why should I do this? I will tell you. So a speaker soulmate to me is kind of like your best friend, you know, like you have your best friend circles, right? Like it's a close, intimate circle. So this is a person that you know, like, and trust. Obviously it's somebody that you would be willing to refer to other speaking engagements, and they would ultimately refer to you as well. And it's also somebody that speaks at a similar frequency as you. For example, if you're like, oh, I like to speak once a month or twice a month, you're finding someone who speaks about that amount of time. Or if it's more frequent, then you find that person at that similar level. Now here's the kicker. This is the Reese's peanut butter cup bonus tip of finding your speaker soulmate. And that is the peanut butter and chocolate, Reese's peanut butter, obviously, is, you know, peanut butter and chocolate part, is that you want to find somebody who speaks to a similar audience as you, but is not your competition. That's what really, really drives it home, because then guess what? You are literally all putting your resources together. You're blending your resources together. So now if you're the solo entrepreneur or agency owner who feels like you're working by yourself, now you're like, have this other person who is doing work as well. And you combine together and you trade, right? So then all of a sudden you're benefiting from each other's hard work. Then maybe you bring in another person or whatever. So it's really, really powerful. And it's not as hard as people think. I think sometimes people just like want this like magic pill, magic wand, like the, you know, lottery ticket, winning lottery ticket. I'm like, well, if you just have deep connections with a small handful of folks that meet these kind of requirements and you nurture that relationship, all of a sudden you're going to be booked beyond your wildest dreams. And that's like, one of my speaker soulmates has referred over 100 speaking engagements to me over the years.
Wow.
So yeah, that's like when people are like, it's worth your time, right? Cause we're talking thousands. I wish I had tracked it. I don't even know how many clients I've gotten from that or how much money I've gotten from her, but wow. Right. So it's easy. It's fun. And I'm a big fan of bringing as much fun and light and joy into your work as possible, right?
Absolutely.
Why else are we here, right?
Totally.
You can have it all. You can have it all. So
how do you find your speaker soulmate? How do you connect with other people who are doing speaking engagements?
Great question. Well, you're always invited to the OC Speakers Network, and there's a link on my website for that if you want to poke around. We actually do something called the speaker referral circles. And now we used to meet in person, but you know, one of the gifts of the pandemic is that we now meet virtually. So it's not just people from Orange County, it's people from all over the world. And we literally have a section in the meeting set aside for you to meet up in small groups, maybe two or three people, with other speakers who you can kind of interview. Like, in a way, you're sort of dating speakers, and you're like, are you my speaker soulmate? Are you my speaker soulmate? And you're sort of thinking in your mind, like, and you get a chance, you're like, oh, maybe that person resonates with you, or wow, they're similar audience, but totally different service or product. Hey, there you go. That could be the person.
Yep.
So I literally set up the environment for you to find your speaker soulmate. Should you take the opportunity?
Interesting.
It's really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so how is speaking beneficial to business owners? So how can speaking benefit the agency owners who are listening to this podcast right now?
Yeah, it is. If you are looking for clients and wanting to grow your business, speaking is a way to all of a sudden quantum level your engagement. If you think, like, if you're talking to people one-on-one, and now you get a chance to, let's say, talk in front of a room full of prospective clients. Wow, that is way more powerful. You know, same amount of time, 1 hour, but you get to really share your message with multiple people. You're also in a position of credibility and authority, mm-hmm. and you get to give. It's a really special. I would say, I'm not going to say, Julia, that speaking is for everyone. I totally understand that some people would rather get a root canal. So if that's you on the phone, Liz, or on, you know, listening, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you're breaking out the hives thinking about it, it's probably not for you. But it is for you if you're one of those people who's like, I love training, I love teaching people, I have so much education I could give back. Like, speaking is a great way to take some of your knowledge, and it's just a little bite-sized pieces of your knowledge, and give to the audience, give a lot of value. And guess what? Then also, certainly if you work with a speaking coach like myself or somebody else, you create a thread so that it leads the audience to whatever that next step is in working with you, or, you know, whether that's becoming a client or generating service, or even if you're attracting employees, right? Hmm. So it depends on what your goal is.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. And so are there any other strategies that our listeners can use to attract clients whenever they're giving a talk?
Absolutely. One of the things that I like to talk about food a lot, Julia, and I don't eat peanut butter jelly sandwiches anymore, but I sure wish I could. You know, there's just a lot of calories in them. So this is like my peanut butter jelly approach here.
Yeah.
And one is, they're both sticky, right? And so when you're talking about attracting your clients, you want to become that sticky, yummy, you know, this resource for people, right?
Right.
And so the peanut butter stickiness is what I call, like, you teach people how you solve problems. So for example, if you're at a networking event or you're speaking from stage or whatever, you can share, these are the problems that I solve for people. And mm-hmm. you don't, I mean, I'm giving like the behind the scenes. That's what you're doing. You wouldn't actually quote unquote say, this is the problem I solve for somebody, but you might say, oh, I'll give an example. You might say, oh, So typically what I would say is, I work with people who have a calling to speak, particularly entrepreneurs, and they just don't know how to get started. They don't know how to create their talk. They are struggling because they know so much and they can't narrow it down. And they also feel a little uncomfortable about, quote unquote, like, selling from stage. They're like, I don't know how I would offer that. That would feel weird or awkward. So what I do is I help people take all that awkwardness and confusion and stuckness about how to become a speaker, and we create a talk for them so that they're excited about it. It's in alignment with who they are. They love it. They cannot wait to share it. And it also leads the audience down the path to, you know, that next step to grow mm-hmm. the business. So that's a way in which, sorry, I struggled there for a second. It's just funny.
You know, it's all good.
Just showing, hey, you know what? We all have our moments. And so that's a way that you can share your problems. Now, the jelly side of that, yeah, the jelly side is, you can attach a story to the problem. So just like peanut butter is great on toast, jelly is great on toast, peanut butter and jelly are great on toast. So you can do either one. You could do, like, I'm going to share how I solve problems, or I can share a story, or I can put the two together. So I tell people it's not an exact science, just like peanut butter jelly. So it's not an exact science. You can kind of make it your own. pick whatever you want, but you want to have like a story library or a problem solving library that you can pull out for instances like this. Like if you're on a podcast or you're at an event or you're at the grocery store, or you're at a barbecue or whatever, whatever you're doing to where you're talking to other people that could help generate business for yourself or attract clients. You want to have those, be able to pull them out of your pocket. So for example, if I were to attach a story to the problem that I solve, I would say, let me tell you a little bit about my client, Carol. She came to me and was very nervous about speaking. She was super confident in being on stage, but had never actually shared her knowledge in that way. She didn't know how to actually create a talk. Right. And she had a big event coming up and she was kind of freaking out, right? And because it was a great opportunity and she didn't want to blow it. So what we did is we created a talk that fit her style. She's a very distinct style. And we created a talk that would fit that opportunity that she had up in front of her on the calendar. She was able to give her talk confidently in front of 100 people mm-hmm. and actually retain clients for the very first time from selling from stage for the very first time, which is super cool. Yeah. And so, you know, yeah, it's like you can act, you know, when you get a little outside support, you can actually really, really make a big difference.
That's awesome. So do you coach the entrepreneurs that you work with on like sales? Like maybe, you know, they just want to improve their selling pitch and you know, the way that they're talking to their clients as well. Is that something that you're able to help them with as well? Maybe not just specifically preparing speaking gigs?
I do. It's funny because I don't think the word sales is anywhere on my website. But I have decades of experience in sales. So what typically happens is that people who have a calling to speak or educate may or may not have had any sales experience. So because of that, we end up talking about sales processes when needed, right?
Yeah.
So I don't call myself a sales coach. However, if I want to be on a podcast or on a speaking gig, or, you know, my clients want to be on booked on certain things, guess what you're selling? You're selling yourself. You're, mm-hmm. you know, you're selling your talk, you're selling the opportunity. And then when you're on stage, you are also selling in a way. You may not be selling something for money right then and there, but you're selling that next step. Mm-hmm. Right. So in that sense, I will coach them on how to best get them to that next level that they want. And this yeah. is where it's not cookie cutter. Like, cause I know some of my clients have lots of sales experience. Some don't have any. So sometimes it's leaving behind the scenes stuff. Like, do you have a CRM? How are you tracking all your prospects? How are you tracking your opportunities? And if it's strings around your finger and post-its and an Excel sheet, we're going to need to change that, you know, because I'm a, like, if you think of the koi pond, like, the koi fish only grows as big as the koi pond.
Right.
So if you have a super small pond, you're going to have a super small fish, right? So we want to be able to build the pond as big as you want your fish to be.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was just asking because the peanut butter and jelly analogy, that seems like those skills would translate perfectly into sales as well. You know, when you're
100%
with telling the story and talking about the problems that you solve and the benefits that you're able to bring to your prospect. So yeah, it definitely translates over to sales.
Absolutely. A lot of times it's making it simple. I think that's a lot of times entrepreneurs, especially really heart-centered entrepreneurs, which is usually who I work with, get a little funky around receiving. They love to give. And the receiving part is a little trickier sometimes for certain people. Like actually asking for someone to take that next step or asking or directing or inviting or however that language works for them. So yeah. We want to make it really simple and easy and feel in alignment. Because if you don't feel good about your offer, whatever that offer is, you're going to hide from it, shrink from it, forget to mention it. These are things that my clients have done in the past that I have also done in the past.
Ask for the sale.
Yes. Yes. All of a sudden you ran out of time on your talk and you forgot to give the closing slide or whatever. I'm like, can't make this up.
So true. Well, yeah, no, that was just a little side note I wanted to just pick your brain on. So yeah, getting back to speaking about or discussing speaking engagements. So what else can business owners and agency owners do to grow their businesses through speaking that are going to attract their ideal clients?
Well, the first step is what I call get your talk ready to rock. Like, take your knowledge and you need to narrow it down to what can you put in a 30-minute talk that would actually be really helpful to an audience of your prospective clients, mm-hmm. right? And depending on each agency owner and what kind of clients they're looking for, those audiences could be different. Like, if you are in a certain industry, you're like, well, we could help anyone, but we have a lot of clients in the medical industry. Okay, well then go speak at medical conferences. Go, if that's where your clients are, guess what? That could bring in your next few big fish clients, right? If you were there speaking, right? And they're like, wow, I really like what they said. And we really need that. We don't have that. That's a no-brainer. But you have to get your talk ready, Rock. In order to get hooked at that conference, you also need to have a plan.
Yeah.
If you don't have a, like, it's kind of like, if you build it, they will come. Like, if you don't build it, you're not, it's probably not going to happen. And you're not going to ask for it either, right? So that's really like one of the first big steps is getting the talk ready to rock. The second step would be then, of course, which I sort of already said, but finding that ideal audience. Like, who, where are they hanging out?
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Super helpful. And then, so what is one of the biggest obstacles that speakers face? And then how can you overcome that?
I think that speakers tend to, there's so many obstacles they face. And it's something that I call speaker's kryptonite. Kryptonite, for those of you who don't know, kryptonite is the fictional thing that could actually kill Superman. Okay.
Yes.
So it's not real. It's not real. Just like our fears, you know, may not be real. So speaker's kryptonite is honestly one of the biggest obstacles. And I think a big way to overcome it is to start to get honest about what is your speaker's kryptonite. And here's where it's tricky, because it can be very subtle. It can sound like, oh, I need to do more research before I, or I need to write another XYZ, create more content, right? Before I
much of a perfectionist before just doing it.
It's not ready yet. I'm still working on it. Or it could be like, well, I'm just going to wait and see. I'm going to wait or fill in the blank. Or I'm not sure if they'll like it. I don't know what the industry wants right now. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know if anyone would buy my product. I don't know. Like, these are the loops that literally go through people's minds, but they're not posting it on Facebook or Instagram, right? Like, this is the quiet, very subtle inner critical voice that's keeping you safe and it's keeping everything locked down and no one's gonna criticize you if you don't say anything,
like those unspoken objections.
Yes. So how do you overcome that? First, just listening to it. Like, oh, I've noticed that I've been wanting to be a speaker for, gosh, as long as I can remember. Now that I think about it, I've always dreamt about that. And where did that get squashed along the way? Where did I lose that dream or push it aside or dim it, you know? And and just think about that for a second. It doesn't even take very long. You could probably remember it right now. And then go, well, is that something I still want to do? Well, what obstacles come up in my mind when I think about that? Oh, I don't know what I would talk about. I don't know where I would go to speak. I don't even know if I'd make any money. I don't know this. I don't know that, right? And that's what, when you can bring in support, like, that's what I help people with. Like, it's okay. You don't need to know all that. I've had people tell me sometimes, they're like, well, before I talk with you, I want to get my talk done. I'm like, why would you wait? I'm going to help you with that. I consider myself a talk doula. For those of you who don't know, doula is someone who like helps the mom, you know, give birth to the baby, right? I literally am right there. Like, we're going to get this baby birthed. Okay. And it's going to be beautiful. You're going to love your baby so much, you know, and gosh, you know, Julia, men can give birth to talks too. So it's kind of cool. finally.
That's so awesome. And I love how you compare yourself to a doula. And then, so how do you have clients who deal with stage fright at all? Like, is that one of their sort of unspoken fears that they talk about?
Not for, that's not usually in my realm, because typically the people who work with me already know they want to be on stage. They are dying to be on stage. Like, give me the mic, I'm put me in coach, that kind of thing. So it's more like, how do I get on the stages? So got the fears it. Are typically about that. For people who have like a phobia about speaking, they usually don't seek me out. But so, you can go to like Toastmasters for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Cause it's something that, you know, as an entrepreneur, you see the value in, but then there's also tons of people out there who their idea of getting on a stage and talking to hundreds of people is just, like you mentioned, a root canal is more appealing.
Sure. So, sure. And that's okay. You know, that's what's cool about our world, right? You get to gravitate towards what you enjoy. So if you're like an agency owner and you're like, oh, I'm always leading the training for the team and I'm always, you know, jumping in and making webinars and doing this and doing that, like, then that's probably, then, okay, let's follow that scent, right? That's probably an opportunity then for you to be speaking more and doing it more effectively. If yep. you're more, you know, behind the scenes, really, I don't want to say introverted because a lot of great speakers are introverts, but like, you know, you're not really feeling that pull to do that, it sounds really distasteful to you, then no, that's probably not the route you're going to go. But you might have someone on your team who is like that. So put them out there.
Yeah. Or if it's someone, you know, you're on the fence, it may make you a little bit uncomfortable. It's pushing you outside of your comfort zone a little bit. Like you mentioned, going to Toastmasters, you know, maybe getting that confidence and then taking the plunge into speaking.
Yeah, that's what the OC Speakers Network is a great, I call toe dipper. Like, you're like, I just want to dip my toe in the pool. I'm thinking about maybe considering possibly, maybe going to be a speaker. Then come to the OC Speakers Network, start to dip your toe in, hang out, see what's going on. But then if you're ready to dive into the deep end, we've got all that stuff too.
Awesome. So what is one speaking industry myth that might be holding people back as a speaker?
I think that it's that you have to have something in order to, like that's why I mentioned when I say my degrees, you don't need a degree in speaking to become a speaker. You don't need to have a book to become a speaker. You don't need to have done something a million years to become a speaker. What you need to do to become a speaker is you need to have a desire. Mm-hmm. I think it's really helpful if you have a passion about something, even if that's insurance. Like it doesn't have to be something maybe everyone's passionate about, but you're like, hey, people should really know this information. And as an agency owner, it's like, well, people don't, you know, you probably, as an agency owner, you're probably already considering like, gosh, I wish my clients knew this, because then it'd be a lot easier for us to help them. And gosh, I wish the industry was more like that, because this would be really helpful. Or here's some things that we do that are different in the industry that our clients, you know, benefit from. Those are things that would be helpful to share. You don't need to have a degree or have it all figured out, quote unquote, to share what's unique about you and how you serve people.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's really important to not get caught up in your head too much and just to, you know, push yourself out of that comfort zone and just take the leap, take the plunge. And yeah, you know, just see where it goes. If you fail along the way, you'll learn something from it, but at least try.
Agree. I think we as adults are a little hard on ourselves. Like if we really, you know, harken back to the days of like, or if you have kids where they're learning how to tie their shoe, learning how to ride a bike, learning how to walk, like you don't, a little kid learning how to walk, a little toddler, they don't give up. You just like lay flat for the rest of their lives. Like, no, you fall, you get back up. It's wobbly. It's not pretty, but you know, of course toddlers are cute to watch, but and adults, we kind of are like, well, I don't know how to do that perfectly yet, so I'm not going to do it. It's really hard, you know? And like, oh my gosh, well, of course it's hard. I'm going to tell you straight up, the first talk you do is not going to be your best. Yeah, no one's going to die. It's going to be okay, but it's not going to be your best talk because you're learning and that's okay.
Yeah. And it's normal to feel overwhelmed when you're learning new skills. Like 100%. I know when I first started podcasting, it was super overwhelming. I had no idea what I was doing. I just went and booked my first guest and then bought a microphone. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this thing called podcasting. And, you know, now I look back and it's just second nature. It's something I'm so comfortable doing. And so it's just cool to see, you know, in that period of time, how much you really grow. And it's cool to see those skills develop.
Love that.
Yeah. So we are going to begin wrapping up here shortly. Is there anything else you would like to add that you feel would be beneficial to our listeners?
You know, here's a resource for those of you out there who are thinking about speaking. If you go to getspeakinggigsnow.com, that's at gigs with an S, because of course you want more than one, right? Then you'll get an opportunity to get the 5 top tips to get more speaking gigs. And that's a free resource for you. You're welcome to grab that.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And then, so to wrap up, we are going to move on to the Fast 5, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
You know, one of the books that I read is called I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams. I Am, I Am, I Am. And it came out before The Secret. I would say it's kind of akin to that. It's like a do-it-yourself manifestation book. And it's cool. Literally like a work, kind of like a workbook. It reads like they go, okay, get your notebook out and start doing this. And it taught me how to think in terms of manifesting, not just like what it is, but like how to do it in a really cool format. And awesome. I still use it to this day.
I love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
It starts with, I'm one of those people, I'm on my phone, just kind of going through the, like, what do I have to go through today? But then I love a very long morning routine, and it's gotten longer as I've gotten older. And so I, even though I do that, there's a lot of things I do. I have a spiritual routine that I go through. I have questions that I ask. I have things that I write. Actually write this year. One of the things I'm doing different is I write my dad who passed away. I write him a little note every morning. Just maybe it's questions. Maybe it's here's what's going on. Just sort of, it's a neat way for me to journal and stay connected to him.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's so unique. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, I don't really know.
No. That's totally fine.
I mean, I like certain CEOs, but I wouldn't say I study them or follow them. I guess Oprah comes to mind.
Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
I think my favorite online tool is, it's a tie because I do have a lot that I love, but I'm going to go with Canva. Big shout out to Canva, because I say thank you, Canva, because graphic design for dummies over here. Like, I'm not great at that stuff. And sometimes as an entrepreneur, I just needed something real quick. Like I didn't need like a Photoshop design, you know, masterpiece. I just need like a quick boom. I could put it on. And Canva has allowed me to do that really easily.
Same. Yeah. Canva and Calendly are definitely two of my favorites. They're just so handy.
Yeah. I use Book Like a Boss, which is my calendar software. And yeah, again, as I said, I have so many that I love. I love HubSpot as my CRM. I just have so many things.
And so last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think that it takes some time to, what I've learned is that it just takes some time to figure it out sometimes. Like even when I was sharing, Julia, that I had started, you know, people were asking me for support so long ago. It took me 3 years to even figure out that that's what I was going to do. And then it took me a couple of years to figure out like, how do I want to really, I mean, I tried different things. I'm not saying I stopped, but I like, how do I want to format this? And now I have a speakers training academy. I've got everything all the GE is what I call general education, like is all automated where they can access it whenever they want, if they're in my academy, things like that, just like really narrowing it down. Like, what are the key elements that everyone needs to know? What delivery format do I want to put it in? How can I best serve my clients? And that's super important to me, but you know, you don't have the answers until you like, kind of like we were saying with podcasting, you got to start somewhere. And so it's like, okay, let's start. And then I would always tweak and evolve along the way.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lisa. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.